T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
Welcome to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. This is Grant Cameron. Before I start my podcast today, a couple of news items that have just come out. One has to do with the two last podcasts I did had to do with a piece of film that was reportedly from the alien autopsy. It's up on rarible.com. The auction ends 45 minutes from now. The site has just gone down. So people are wondering what's going on. And I also heard a story that somebody who was going to run with the story last night, a media outlet, had their site go down. So it appears there may be more truth to this frame than people are giving it credit for. That's the one piece of news. The other piece of news is that Prime Minister Trudeau here in Canada is making an announcement today, an apology to all Italian Canadians today. Due to World War II, the Canadians determined that all Italians were alien enemies. Four women were actually put in jail. A number of them were kept in internment or concentration camps. The same thing happened in the United States. There's actually posted just a couple of days ago, which made me wonder whether Trudeau saw my post about the Americans, is we have this big debate about is the UFO phenomena evil, good, or indifferent, and this idea that they may be a threat. We got to remember, based upon this thing with the Italians during World War II, that the threat keeps changing. The military-industrial complex will see everything as a threat, a potential threat, because that's what it's there. I mean, who they're going to take off the map to say this isn't a threat? They'll consider everything to be a potential threat. So the American order was put out by Roosevelt in 1941, calling Italians alien enemies, and I think there were 7,000 of them rounded up, put in internment camps. I don't know if they've ever reversed that order, which would tend to indicate that maybe they still consider Italians to be a threat in the United States. This is the whole idea, that it goes from one to another. It's the one day it's the Arabs are the threat, and then it's the Jews, then it's the North Vietnamese, and then it's the Chinese, and then it's the Japanese. And in World War II, it was the Germans and the Italians who were considered to be evil and to be a threat to the security of the United States. So we've got to keep that in mind, that in a lot of cases, the whole idea of having an enemy is got to do with the military-industrial complex and a need for war. Now, to today's podcast, I want to review a story that just broke in Politico. And I should point out that when the New York Times story broke in 2017 in December, I always maintain this was a planned event. This was not something where the New York Times scooped everybody and got this story. People got to remember that when this story ran, New York Times went with the story on December 16th, but so did the Washington Post and so did Politico. Three newspapers would indicate that somebody was feeding this story to three different newspapers, major mainstream newspapers, and that they all went with the whole story about the ATIP program and the secret investigation of UFOs inside the American government. So now Podesta has been interviewed by Politico, one of the three news agencies that ran with the ATIP story in December of 2017. And he has encouraged Biden to move forward in creating a dedicated UFO office inside the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Now, I say, first of all, this confirms what I've said for 5 or 6 years, that this operation that we're seeing today, this disclosure operation we're seeing today, was planned a long time ago. This didn't just happen in the last year. This has been going on for quite a while, and I'll get into it later in the podcast. The interesting thing about Podesta identifying the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is that is the office of the science advisor to the President of the United States. When Bill Clinton was in, I filed an FOIA after a couple of other people filed an FOIA to get records of Rockefeller, Lawrence Rockefeller's initiative called the Rockefeller Initiative to the Clinton White House, where he went in after the election and said, I don't care who wins the election, I'm going in there and I'm going to get the president to disclose UFOs. So Clinton won 1992, 1993, in comes Rockefeller in March of the after they got in, and he's not allowed to see the president. And this is the whole story, is that the president, as Ron Pandolfi stated, the president cannot be a player. So he was not allowed to get to the president. He was intercepted at the office of the science advisor to the president. And this, in these 1,000 pages of documents that I got from the Clinton White House when Clinton was still in, detail this whole initiative back and forth, letters going back from the science advisor, Gibbons, Dr. Gibbons, and Lawrence Rockefeller. And in a bunch of material, what you saw was this plausible deniability, that there are two documents in that whole pile of documents that involve Hillary Clinton. And one of the documents showed that Hillary Clinton was actually helping Lawrence Rockefeller edit a letter on UFO disclosures to the President of the United States. The other memo that was in there detailed the fact that everything that was going from Rockefeller to the science advisor and from the science advisor back to Rockefeller was going through the First Lady's office. She was like the post office. And it didn't make any sense for many years. Why would everything be going through Hillary's office? And the idea is this idea. Like Bill Clinton told Lawrence Rockefeller at the ranch, at the Rockefeller Ranch, according to what he told Whitley Strieber, is that Bill Clinton said this is like the Arkansas Tar Baby story. You cannot touch it. It's like the story of the Arkansas Tar Baby, where this character goes down the road and there's this guy's built this tar baby standing beside the road, and he sees his tar baby, says hello. The tar baby doesn't answer. He gets angry and punches the tar baby, and of course gets stuck to the tar baby. Then he punches him with the other hand, and his other hand is stuck. Then he uses his feet to try to get his hands loose, and his feet get stuck, and he gets stuck to the tar baby. And that's what Bill Clinton says. This is something that you cannot touch. A similar example is when Jim Semivan had his experience, what I was told, that he was told, leave this alone, pretend it's a one-off, pretend it'll only happen one time, this will ruin your career, don't touch it. So the president, I maintain, and I will describe in a minute, the president does know what's going on. The president can get what he wants if he wants to get it. As they've said, if the president asks for something, they will move mountains to make sure the president gets it. Now, if the president doesn't ask, is not interested, that's a different story. So here we have John Podesta saying that this same office that Clinton and the Rockefeller Initiative, when he was with Clinton, that it should go through this office. And it has been the office that has been the place where UFOs have been sort of filed from time to time. I've filed a number of FOIAs with the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Now, what John Podesta says is the OSTP office, they're more used to dealing in open source environment, used to dealing with scientific information disclosed to the public and having a conversation with the scientific community than, you know, black programs at the Pentagon. So he's talking about this bringing material into the public rather than dealing inside the black world. The idea for the office, came apparently from Leslie Kane, who worked with John Podesta, had written this famous book in 2010 on government disclosure and these witnesses and stuff. And so John credits Leslie with coming up with this idea that the OSTP should be the office where all the UFO stuff should go through. Now, that's a bit different than the way it's working now. It's going through science, and it's going through the Senate, and it's going to the office, or the Senate committees of intelligence and armed services, which means its weapons, its national security. And I've always pointed this out, that the office of Senate Office of Science and Technology, Outer Space, none of those committees were briefed. So we're not interested here in getting this material to the public. This is a national security issue, the way it's being raised, this whole threat thing. And John is saying it should be moved for the public to this OSTP office. Now, there's a story going around that Obama had denied all this stuff. And I maintain I know pretty much everything Obama ever said about UFOs. Obama never denied UFOs. He always walked around the subject. He would say repeatedly, I can't talk about it. But his office did put out a statement. This was put out. Steve Bassett had filed a petition. They had these petitions. If you had so many signatures, the White House would answer your query. So Steve Bassett got a pile of petition signatures. Then they moved the numbers up, and he got the higher number, and they were forced to answer the disclosure question. And the answer came out of this Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House. And it was written by a guy by the name of Larson. And here's what Larson said. Now, this is not Obama. This was an official statement by Larson. The U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet, or that extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race, Phil Larson from the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy reported. In addition, there is no credible information to suggest that any evidence is being hidden from the public's eye. Now, I filed an FOIA with the office immediately, and what I wanted to know is what books did he use, what references did he use, how much research did he use, and the FOIAs basically came back and said that Phil Larson did no research whatsoever. He just wrote this and didn't request anything from anybody. So the office did put it, but it was in Obama's name, but Obama himself, if you take a look, he is actually the one, when John Podesta went to the White House, and I think it was 2013, for a year, the day after he went to the White House, Barack Obama actually declassified Area 51. He made this award to Shirley MacLaine and made this joke that, you know, when presidents come in, they don't know anything about Area 51, so I had to phone Shirley MacLaine, and everybody laughed, and he said, I'm probably the first president that's ever mentioned the word Area 51. The reason he said that was because the minute the president says it, it's declassified. So it was Barack Obama that declassified Area 51. Until then, they were calling it a secret base. They were denying Area 51 existed. Barack Obama opened up the word Area 51. Shmerkonic from CNN asked Obama about what he had learned, the Book of Secrets, and the way he walked around it, he didn't deny it. He walked around. He said, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And it was a kind of a joke. Will Smith tells the story of going to the Obama White House, and his son wanted to ask Barack Obama the question about the UFOs. They're in the Situation Room, and he said, Mr. President. And then, according to Will Smith, Barack said, Jaden, I know what you want. You want to ask about the aliens. I can tell you I can neither confirm nor deny that the extraterrestrials have visited the Earth. But if they had, and if there had been a secret meeting, it would have taken place in this very room. Barack Obama did not have to make that statement. He did not have to open up. He knew that would get out. He did not deny it. It was a confirm or deny, can neither confirm nor deny, which means I can't talk about it. On the Kimmel show, one of the more famous ones was where Kimmel gets Bill Clinton on. Bill Clinton is dodging around, saying he doesn't know. I'm embarrassed to say I tried and I couldn't get the material, whatever. And there was actually an investigation done where they looked at his body structure and his reactions and all the different body, you know, stuff, and were determined that he was not really telling the truth, that he was dodging. So Kimmel actually notifies Obama. He says, you know, when I ask you the question, they're going to be watching everything you do, everything you, time you swallow, everything. And Obama says, yeah, I know that. And so then he says, now there are a lot of people that are going to examine your facial expressions here with every twitch and everything you say. Of course. So did you see, did you explore? And he's talking about when you got into the White House, did you go and look for the UFO files? And Barack did not say there's nothing there. He said, I can't reveal anything. And then Kimmel says, really, because Bill Clinton said he did go right in and did check and there was nothing. Well, you know, that's what we're instructed to say. That's what Obama said. And that is true. That's what they told Jim Semivan. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. It'll ruin your career. It's the tar baby story. And that may be true. That's what they're told to say. They're told to walk away, to stay away from the issue, because the president, it's like if you take a Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State or whatever, if they go down, they go down. If the president goes down, the country goes down. You cannot allow the president to touch the subject. So they move the subject away, and it's this plausible deniability thing. There's an interview that was done with a little girl, a little six-year-old girl who was an expert on presidents. And on that one, it was on the Ellen Show. And she said, she asked, and he said, well, we haven't talked to them, but when we have conversations with them, you'll be the first that I'll let know. They're reading off teleprompters. You can see very clearly that this is all staged. They're reading off teleprompters. Barack Obama did not have to do anything. He did one commercial where he said, if people give to this fund, whatever they were saving, I'll release the UFO files. And then this joke, this guy says in the background, well, that's classified. And he said, oh, I've got them right here in my desk. Now, this is the thing. Barack played with it. Barack would always walk very close to the edge of this thing saying, yes, he knew. In fact, there's one interview that was done with Barack Obama where he's asked, did you look? And he said, yeah. Did they refuse you the information? And he said, no. And he confirmed that, yes, he found the information, but I can't talk about it. So he did not say there was no information. He said repeatedly, I can't talk about it. There's all sorts of, and I hear this all the time, that the president doesn't. Bush Jr. was on the Kimmel show, and he was asked, and he said, no, that's what my daughters always ask me. And he said, well, what do you tell your daughter? Nothing. You're not telling us nothing? Not telling you nothing. And so he didn't deny it. He's basically confirmed that, yes, he had looked at this thing. And Dan Quayle, who was the vice president for Bush Sr., actually is on camera. I have the video clip, where he says, yes, we looked at this subject and we could not really get anywhere with it. We spent a lot of time looking at the UFO subject. We've got this on videotape. So yes, the presidents do, if they're curious, can look into the subject. And they, like any other issue, the people can walk around them. They can play games and hide the stuff. So it doesn't mean he's going to get everything, but the president can look. It's not like the president's some total dummy that people want to make this idea that there's some secret government that's running the president. He's influenced by donors, by all sorts of stuff that force him to make certain decisions. But the president, according to the stories I've heard, when the president decides he's going after something, they will move mountains, and he may not get to it, but the president is not completely removed from this whole thing. So Podesta had actually made a couple of comments in terms of his famous tweet from 2014, once again, my biggest disappointment in 2014 was once again not getting UFO disclosure, which indicated that he tried to get it through Bill Clinton. And what happened with Podesta and what they did, and they had this executive order in 1995 in which they said anything that's classified after 25 years, unless you've got a very good reason to keep it secret, has to be declassified. It doesn't matter what it is. That's the way they tried to get it. They tried to shake out the UFO material by this executive order, and it didn't work. So he had tried to get disclosure under Bill Clinton. He wasn't able to get it. And it's the whole idea. The president, it's not the president doesn't want to do it, but the president doesn't want to touch the subject. So what happens in these initiatives, and what I'm going to say has happened in this initiative, is that Barack Obama looks the other way and says, okay, John's pushing him. We need to do something. We need to do something here. Okay, I approve it unofficially off the record, because Podesta was the legal advisor to the president, but he has executive privilege, so you can't get any of the files. All that stuff is kept secret. So Podesta can talk to Obama. Obama says, I'll look the other way, make it happen. So it's Podesta that goes out, and Podesta gets this thing going. Podesta had done an FOIA with Leslie Kane. He actually filed, this is a big government guy, actually filed an FOIA, and then they took the government to court over the Kecksburg crash in 1965. Now, in this article, Podesta actually says, there were clearly more documents generated that were disclosed under the Freedom of Information Act, given the attention the government paid to it. So he's basically saying, we tried to get the material, and we were not able to, they were able to hide the stuff, which is how it works. They're able to hide the stuff so people can't get it. Now, the White House press secretary has now commented after Podesta came forward and has said they are aware of the report, this task force report that's supposed to be coming out, going to the Senate. We're aware of the report requirement, and our team at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is, of course, actively working on that report. So the idea is that the pressure was put on the armed services and intelligence. They played this threat thing, said we need to look at this potential threat. And so the Senate asked for this report from this task force, and the task force is sending the report up through the Director of National Intelligence. And it's the Director of National Intelligence who will make the final report to Congress, the classified and the unclassified. So that's where it is. And this is stated by this press secretary. They know that this report is there, and they're actually talking about it. In the Trump administration, what you saw was Sarah Sanders was asked a question on behalf of Trump. She was the press secretary, and she said, I will ask the president. And of course, she never asked the president, and nobody ever asked again, because that's the problem in the White House press corps, not so much anymore, but it was in those days, was you don't want to be the dummy who asked the dumb UFO question, because you worked your way all the way up to the White House, to the representative for whatever news agency, and you don't want to be the dumb guy asks the question and gets your stuff and end up back at the court report in your local town. You've made it all the way up there. You want to ask some intelligent question. You don't want to ask the UFO question. So Podesta actually said before it was a career ending to basically talk about this subject. That has clearly switched, and that's a good thing. So he's basically saying that now the situation has changed. It's now basically open. And I will maintain over and over again that this whole thing started in 2015, and it started with John Podesta. It actually started with Tom DeLonge. Here's the story. I've told it many times. I will maintain this is the way the story actually took place. Tom DeLonge was dealing with someone from Lockheed Skunk Works. That guy was talking to him about threats and stuff. And then the guy phoned him up and he said, how would you like to introduce Robert Weiss at a barbecue at the Lockheed Skunk Works parking lot with the families? And he said, oh, I'd love to do that. If I could get 5 minutes with him, I would do that. So he went in, he introduced the Robert Weiss at this barbecue, and he was given 5 minutes. He was brought into a skiff, into a Lockheed, a sensitive compartmentalized information facility. And he was in there with Robert Weiss, with the head scientist, and with a third person who I haven't been able to identify who the third person was. And he talks, and that's where he brings up consciousness, and the head scientist said, now you're talking. And for 45 minutes, he talks about consciousness and how important consciousness is to this whole thing. And Tom DeLonge makes his pitch. So Tom DeLonge's pitch was basically the fact that the military is not able to talk to the young people. You need Instagram, you need Facebook, and you guys haven't got a clue what you're doing on, and you need me. I can get this message out. And at one point, one of the people in the room says, you know, this may actually work. And at that point, they buy in that Tom DeLonge can help move this initiative along. You can get it. And whatever the initiative, whatever it is, whether they want the white world to be working on this, whether they want more money for this, whatever the thing was, they agreed, it appeared they agreed that Tom DeLonge could help move this ball down the road and get some traction to this thing. He was phoned 2 weeks later. He was sent to Washington. He was told to go to Washington, D.C. He flew to Washington. He met with two intelligence guys who were sitting behind a table in a room, and that's the guys who made the famous statement and said, things like this do not happen at the White House. Things like this do not happen on the Hill. They happen when people like this behind the table decide to take the football and move it down the field. That's the plausible deniability. That's the whole deal. The president can't touch it, but you can put it indirectly through people down low who will move the ball down the field, and it becomes a game between the people who are coming up and the people who want it out. So a bunch of people had decided they wanted this out, and at that point, they start linking into Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge did not pick up all these people. They picked him up. So he had these two intelligence guys. They sent him to NASA. He met a bunch of people at NASA, had conversations, picked up some new people. They sent him to Ames. Ames sent him to General McKay from Space Command, a U.S. Air Force general. Then he was sent to General McCaslin, two-star general, who used to run the lab where the Roswell material supposedly went at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And all these people started to go on to the team, almost the same as Bill Moore had 24 people that were given to him from different organizations to talk to him, to feed him material. This is how they do it. It's plausible deniability. It's indirectly. It's all retired people. So Tom DeLonge, and this is the key part to this whole Podesta thing, why this article on Podesta coming forward now is so important. Tom DeLonge calls Podesta in 2015. That's like 6 years ago. He phones him. He gives him the pitch, the same pitch he gave to Lucky Skunk Works. You need me. I can move this. I've got all these people on Instagram and Facebook, and I can get the message out for you. You guys aren't getting the message across. And then Podesta says, well, I'm kind of busy. Call me back in a couple of months. And Tom DeLonge doesn't call him back because he thinks it's totally a waste of time. And he basically gives up. 2 months later, this is the key. John Podesta phones him back. And John says, okay, I'm ready to be involved. I need you to fly to Washington right now. This is very important. That's when it started. And that's when this initiative that you're seeing happen now started. They brought in Tom DeLonge, and John Podesta went to Obama indirectly. This is my guess. He went to Obama and he said, we've got a plan. We want to run this. And the old idea, as long as you keep Obama's name out of it, go ahead, run with it. And John Podesta makes Hillary Clinton make a promise that she's going to open this thing up when she becomes the president. Hillary talked about it openly, that she had made a promise to John. And if you remember, Hillary went on to the Kimmel show. And then Kimmel said to her, you know, you said you're going to get this thing opened up. Well, your husband was on here, and he said he tried, he couldn't do it. And she said, I'm going to do it again. As if she's got a plan, she's going to do it. She didn't care if her husband didn't get it. So the plan was set. And the key to understanding that, and the proof of that, is in May of 2016, Hillary goes on to the Kimmel show. She's supposed to be on in May, in the fall of 2015. She's got her little speech already. If you look at the WikiLeaks dump, you'll see that Hillary had this speech already. She was very upset because she had this UFO speech already to do on Kimmel, and he didn't ask her the UFO question. She didn't get on until early 2016, and that's when she says, you know, they're not called UFOs anymore. There's a new nomenclature. They're called UAPs. Well, guess what? That's what they're called. That's the first time it came out. This all comes back to that day. It was all set up. I wrote a book called Managing Magic. It was written in 2016. It was first published in February of 2017. That's the copyright date on it. All this is in there. I was told in 2016, and you tell me this is not what's happening right now. A number of high-ranking officials are going to come forward. That's what I was told. A number of high-ranking officials are going to come forward, and they are going to say UFOs are real, and they're going to force disclosure. Exactly what's happened. In 2016, I was told the big man's going on 60 Minutes. This has all been planned all the way back there. What happened was, because they had lost the election, Hillary lost the election, and because WikiLeaks was dumped and the three main characters who were helping Tom DeLonge all had to go back in the closet because they'd been exposed. One was Robert Weiss, the head of Lockheed Skunk Works. One was McCaslin, the two-star general, and the other one was this General McKay. They were identified in the WikiLeaks, and they were exposed, so they had to shut this thing down and retool a thing, and then they bring in Justice and Mellon and Lou Elizondo, but the original guys were these much higher-level guys. And to show, there was a meeting, if you look at the WikiLeaks, and I've got early videos that we will probably try to put some of these videos up that I did just when the Tom DeLonge thing broke. I did a bunch of YouTube videos, PowerPoint presentations, where I described this whole process of how this thing. So I was doing it back in 2017. It was all there. So we may put some of these videos up. But what you see in those videos is that in January of 2016, so this is like almost a year before the election takes place, there's a meeting. I think it's January the 25th. A meeting takes place, and it is hosted by John Podesta. They're planning this thing. It's on a go-to meeting. It's on a teleconference thing. And Tom DeLonge is there. Robert Weiss is there. McCaslin is there. McKay is on the call. And they discuss UFO disclosure. And then Robert Weiss actually writes back later and asks, has John done what he said he's going to do? So they're trying to get updates. Has John got this thing going? This thing was all planned back in 2016. Tom DeLonge has now come forward and basically stated, and Tom DeLonge, whatever you want to think about Tom DeLonge is absolutely right. Here's a tweet that he did after these latest little breaks a couple of weeks ago. He said, for the record, TTSA Academy started all this. He's exactly right. Whatever you think about Tom DeLonge, he is right. It started all this. I was surrounded by heroes that came out of the shadows of the CIA, DOD, Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works. Together, we changed the world, and its effect will be felt as a downpour of reality-changing information for years to come. Exactly right. This is an initiative that's gone on for a long time, and what you saw, that the CTSA, the first move was to put the pressure on the Senate. If you listen to Melinda Leslie, going back years when she was talking to Jim Semivan, we knew they were putting pressure. Now it's like, oh, we think this just happened. We heard years ago that the main objective of TTSA was to put pressure on Congress for Congress to ask for a report. That's exactly what's happening. This was, Melinda Leslie was talking about this with Semivan years ago already. And so when Lou and Justice and Mellon all left TTSA, people asked me when they left, well, why did they leave? And I said, because now it had been announced that the Senate was going to ask for this report. Okay, now we don't need TTSA anymore. Now we move to the Senate level, and we work through the Senate, through the people, to put pressure on there. That's second gear. He referred to it numerous times. We've gone from first gear to second gear. We've moved from TTSA to Congress. This is all planned, folks. Things do not happen by accident. They're all carefully planned, and the plan started back in 2015. So I'm going to leave it at that for today. Tomorrow I'm going to do a big show. Tomorrow I'm going to give you, everybody's waiting for this big report. They say, you know, when's disclosure coming? And you can even say this today. People, after hearing today, they'll say, okay, well, Grant, when's this? That's all we'll keep people care about. When's disclosure coming? So tomorrow I'm going to do disclosure. I'm going to give you the report. You're waiting for this task force report, coming back from intelligence to the Congress, to the Senate. I'm going to give you that report from 1967. A group of high-level people, and I will link them with the people that are now, and people say, well, maybe these people didn't know. The people that are going to do this nine-month report that was done for President Johnson, I've got the report. It was an eyes-only study for the President of the United States, so there are no documents. But the guy who ran the program actually wrote a manuscript, and it's all in the manuscript. The manuscript was never published. His daughter recovered the manuscript. It was sent to me, and it talks about a report that went on for 9 months, and a bunch of the people, including head of Lockheed Skunk Works, head of the National Reconnaissance Organization. This is 1967. The NRO was not announced until 1993. The head of the NRO, and Tom DeLonge had a general from the NRO as well. Head of Art Lundahl, who was the head of the Weird Desk. Tom DeLonge had McCaslin, a two-star general at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The report that I'm going to read tomorrow had a four-star general from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It basically, we have all the names except for one scientist who was on this committee. This committee produced an official report on UFOs to the President of the United States. I'm going to read the final conclusions. It's very long. It's maybe 6 or 7 pages. It goes on forever. I'm going to read it tomorrow on the podcast. So tomorrow's disclosure, even though once I finish tomorrow, people are still going to say, so when do you think disclosure is coming? When are they going to tell us about the evil reptilians or eating people? And it's like, I'll repeat it. But tomorrow you'll hear the entire, it's the first time I've ever released it. I'm going to read it on the podcast, the entire conclusion of a 9-month study that was done for the President of the United States in the late 1960s and what they concluded. So thanks for listening.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.